Tappers, what's going on? It is Wednesday, February 20th. Hope everybody is doing well. We're halfway through the work week. We will get there, dealing with snow yet again here in the state of Wisconsin. Hope you're staying safe as always. So this will probably be a shorter pod than usual. The topics are not heavy here in the great state, so we'll try our best. We'll be back tomorrow again to preview Bucks-Celtics, talk kind of about the Bucks in the second half, if you will. It's not really the second half because there's only like 25 games left, but still, we'll chat about sort of the Bucks run to the playoffs, which starts tomorrow night in what should be a highly anticipated game against the Boston Celtics. Then we'll also look back at Marquette and Butler. I'll be in the building tonight. Looking forward to that. Shout out to my boy Murph hooking that up. And then, yeah, so it should be a good one tomorrow. Today, we're going to talk about bandwagons and Manny Machado. So hopefully, and I guess Bryce Harper will probably weave his way in there as well. Okay, so this was a topic I kind of teased a couple times this week. And I said, if Mitch and I were doing a podcast this week, this is a topic I would have wanted to talk about with Mitch. And what I'm wondering right now is, which bandwagon is more full, the Milwaukee Brewers or the Milwaukee Bucks? Now, a long time ago, really like probably when I was like, it was right around the 2011 run, maybe a little earlier with the Milwaukee Brewers, I kind of hated the idea of bandwagon fans. And I said, you know, you're not a true fan. These people are just showing up. I kind of blame Bill Simmons a little bit for this. And Uncle Bill is Uncle Bill, but what happened was he explained the whole pink hat Red Sox theory about people going to Red Sox games. Now, looking back at the pink hat theory about, you know, people showing up, predominantly women, low-key sexist, low-key would have been problematic in 2019, but that was something that Simmons talked about in great detail. That kind of happened with the Brewers in 2011 and 2012, and the fan base became much more of a bandwagon-focused crowd. And I had friends tell me, like, this, it doesn't matter about bandwagons, mostly my friend Eric, but he was the leading prominent voice about of dissension, saying, look, these bandwagon fans bring this team money, so don't care about, you know, who's watching or who's going to these games. The matter is they're putting asses in seats and they're making a ton of money. And so that, as I've gotten older and understand how business works and been, you know, a little wiser, I've began to embrace the fact that there is a bandwagon. That all the bandwagon does, whether it's merch, whether it's ticket sales, whether it's just social engagement, whether it's traffic to the website. The fact of the matter is a bandwagon fan base drives all of that up, and that's all positive for the team. So whatever is being done to help a small market team, that's great. You know, a team like the Yankees, a team like the Lakers, Notre Dame, they're different. But, you know, none of those teams need help. They don't need the help of the fans. And granted, when you have a struggling small market franchise like, say, a Memphis Grizzlies or Miami Marlins is not a good example, but New Orleans Pelicans, I just go to NBA right away because it's top of mind. But like, you have those franchises who are struggling, and they would kill to have a bunch of bandwagon fans and a shot in the arm. It's just not something you can invent overnight. You have to actually be good, which the Brewers and Bucks definitely are. So that then it begs the question of which one has a bigger bandwagon right now. So you'd immediately think the Bucks, but I really do think the excitement around the Brewers has never been higher. I think this is the most hyped Brewer season I've had in my life. I don't think there has been a Brewer season where people have been this genuinely exciting. The Bucks have sort of been this build-up, right? I think the Bucks bandwagon really started around a little bit after the Save My Bucks campaign. I'm not giving them credit for reinventing the sort of Bucks love, but with Giannis and Jabari, people started to get on the bandwagon. People started to really become Bucks fans. The people who hadn't been, you know, Bucks fans in the past. There are those who use the Bucks as sort of the hipster way of watching sports. I do think a lot of the skinny jeans community here in Milwaukee are Bucks fans. And because the merch is cool, the idea of the style of being a Bucks fan is cool, the idea of liking the Bucks over a team like the Packers is very different and unique. So that's kind of where that Bucks fandom goes. And now others have joined the bandwagon, and kids are really the last frontier of the bandwagon, and all you really need is a great player. So the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo is a top five player in the league, kids love Giannis. And those kids who, I remember I had a guy at work who his kid was like 7 or 8, loved Steph Curry, wanted to go see Steph Curry. And I feel like now those 7 to 10 year olds, those 7 to 12 year olds are going to see Giannis. And those 7 to 12 year olds who are sports fans are thinking about what it would be like to meet Giannis and how they want a Giannis autograph and probably a selfie, actually. I'm so fucking old sometimes. But they want like a selfie with Giannis, like our boy Nolan got. But you know, so that's part of that Bucks sort of joining that bandwagon. And I think if the Bucks have a similar run like the Brewers did last year, and say they get to the Eastern Conference Finals or even the NBA Finals, the hype around them next season will be off the charts. It may eclipse what we're seeing with the Brewers right now, because basketball is just bigger in general. There are more people who care about basketball. I could argue that Milwaukee has a chance to be both a basketball and baseball city. I think there is always a debate that I think, you know, local radio will roll out on a lazy Friday and say, what is Milwaukee more, a football or a baseball town or a basketball town? It really is both. I mean, I look at basketball and I think basketball, it's more of a basketball city from the perspective of it's all levels. It's high school with just a very competitive WIAA. It is college with Marquette, Wisconsin, UWM, Green Bay. I think, and that's more outside of the state, but there are people who care about all of the local teams. There are 4 local Division I teams who could all hypothetically make the NCAA tournament. Then you have obviously the pro team in the Bucks, and there have been the long-suffering fans, and then there are ones who've kind of just came on board late and they're catching the wave. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I know that a lot of long-suffering Bucks fans would say, fuck you. I dealt through the Mike Dunleavy years. I dealt with Chris Ford. I dealt with Herb Cole pinching every fucking penny possible. So why do these guys get to revel in the success? We're all one, baby. It doesn't matter. It's fun. Look, I'm really happy for you if you were a Bucks fan starting in the 90s and you've been a fan for a long time and you watched Todd Day and Vin Baker and whatever. But at the same time, you have to appreciate the fact that there are new fans and that your team's staying in Milwaukee because of those new fans. So shut the fuck up and love the fact that there are more fans than ever before. As for the Milwaukee Brewers, so the Milwaukee Brewers, their fan base, I guess the bandwagon really started in 2008 when the Brewers got hot and the Brewers had Prince Fielder, Ryan Braun, and that sort of springboarded everything. Prior to Ryan Braun's PED suspension, you were hard-pressed not to find a kid who was rocking a Braun or Fielder jersey. They were all over the place. I was working with kids at the time. I was working on a playground, kind of monitoring supervisor. Basically, I was just a big old babysitter in college. And you would see Braun and Fielder jerseys all over the place. The occasional Corey Hart, those were the real ones. I think I've talked about my affinity for Corey Hart like a week ago. I can't remember how it got brought up, but I talked about that a little bit. And so the idea of, you know, the Brewer bandwagon, I think, has always sort of that kind of started it. The Braun PED stuff wasn't great. You guys know where I stand on that. But from a bandwagon perspective, I think that definitely turned people away for a little bit. And then the team got hot again in 2014, and they've sort of, and then they rebuilt. But even when they were rebuilding, the fan base was sort of there. I mean, they've had 2 million fans now for what, 8 or 9 years? They're approaching their 10th consecutive year of 2 million fans. I don't think they're going to have a problem with that this year. I don't think the Brewers would have to just be catastrophically bad for them to not eclipse that 2 million mark yet again. And the TV ratings have been huge. I mean, the Brewers, I think, I don't know about last year, but I know in the past they've been a top five local TV market as well. So the Brewer bandwagon has sort of been one that has been there for a long time. Now, there are people who got into this team last year. There are people who it took them till last year to really buy in. And that's fine. Look, baseball is a long-ass season. It is hard to watch 162 games. Because of what I do here at Snowtap WI, I try to watch everything. And if I don't watch everything, I'm at least watching basically a highlight tape of everything that happened in the game, so I have a better idea of what went on. But again, it's not easy. So to jump on the bandwagon right around the playoff time and enjoy sort of the feelings of being a playoff contender, being one of the best teams in the National League, is really fun. It's really exciting. And the fact that you get to needle Cubs fans in the same way that Packer fans have needled Bears fans is great. That's exciting. That is a really fun part of the rivalry. And that's something that the Bucks rivalry doesn't have. Sure, they have the Sixers. Sure, the Celtics are a thing. But you have a team in Chicago that is a hated opponent in the Midwest. Same with St. Louis in a lesser degree. Although I would agree with those who've said that the Cardinals are bigger until last year. I think the Cardinals were a bigger rival. I think that pendulum has swung now at the game 163, all the Twitter shit, the Cubs not always being that happy with the Brewers. I think it's now swung to the Cubs Brewers as a legitimate rivalry. Also, shout out to Javi Baez for saying he didn't hustle that much last year. Good on you, Javi. Good to see things are well in Cubs land to start the season. So I guess where I net out on this, and you can agree or disagree with me, Snowtap WI, it is a website, that the Brewers take it. The Brewers are the one with the bandwagon, and the Brewers have the wagon, and they've done it throughout a long period of time. And I do think if the Bucks are continually successful, Giannis stays here in Milwaukee, I think that bandwagon will grow and swell, and it probably will eclipse the Brewers at some point. But right now, I think the Brewers are the bigger bandwagon. So feel free to weigh in. I'd love to hear feedback on this, what you guys think. So hit me up. You know where to find me on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook also as well. If you are one of our Facebook followers, shout out to you guys. The engagement on the page has been awesome. I've enjoyed, and always feel free to comment on stuff. If you comment on an article, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Twitter, I'll usually try to respond, or, you know, at least try to, if it's, you know, I'm not asking to suck my dick. I'm not saying, oh, great article. But if you have a comment, if you disagree for some reason, we'd be happy to chat about it. Happy to chat about the article. So always don't be shy. Don't be a stranger. All right, wrapping up the show. So Manny Machado is finally signed. He is now a member of the San Diego Padres. Padres ink him to a 10-year, $300 million deal. That is a crazy contract. I think the idea that Machado was able to get his money and he held out says something. But it is a little frustrating that we didn't have this Manny Machado sweepstakes. It was all done sort of behind the scenes. I'd recommend, Jeff Passan broke the story, and he was on Ryan Ursella's podcast last week, and I thought they did a really good job sort of talking about the change in free agency. And I really think that baseball has to do something about a window. And I think that that window should really be, you know, sort of defined, and that deals should be done. We would prefer deals to be done during this time. And I don't know if you can do that, but I give Machado a lot of credit because he held out and he got his money, man. And I don't know if he's worth it. I think that's a really steep contract. I get the overpay by the Padres. The Padres are the only team in town. As we say on Tabby the Keg, they are the big dick in the Cracker Factory. And they were never really the big dick in, you know, when you talk about fan bases and bandwagons and shit like that, the Chargers were always number one. And now that they're gone, San Diego is the only team. So the fact is everybody is going to throw their support behind this. People who were Charger season ticket holders are now maybe Padres season ticket holders. And if they haven't yet signed up for the team, maybe they will now that Machado is on board. There is a whole marketing angle that justifies this overpay. The Padres also have one of the best farm systems in the league. So I kind of see this as a larger scale version of what the Brewers did with Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. And they're going to now put their farm talent around it. They're still a year or two out. I mean, I don't see the Padres contending for a wild card this year, but next year they're definitely going to be a team that will compete with the Dodgers for the top spot. And, you know, the White Sox are stunned. I'm glad Manny is staying in the NL. The Brewers and Machado obviously have this little rivalry going with each other. I think it's great, and that should be exciting. It's too bad that Machado isn't coming until September to Miller Park. That's a real bummer. And if he doesn't actually play or he sits, we'll call him a pussy because that's what we do. So Bryce Harper still is not signed, so he is the last one. Passan mentioned this and said how it's overblown that 100 free agents aren't signed. That's not true. It's really like 15 guys that matter. Dallas Keuchel, another guy that's out there that was on the Brewers radar. Who knows with the Mike Moustakas signing if that's no longer a thing or if the Brewers are still working on that. But that said, with Harper, I think if the Phillies don't get Bryce Harper, they are the biggest loser in this entire process. I can't help but think the Phillies and Harper kind of seemed like a lock. It seemed like they've been circling each other. The rumors have been hot, hot, hot. And if somehow, some way, he's not a member of the Phillies, man, they really have the pie directly on their face and have to regroup with what they are doing going forward. So the White Sox already have that sort of pie on their face, and I almost wonder, will they pull a Padres and overpay for Bryce Harper? And if they overpay for Bryce Harper, what is that going to say to Cubs fans who thought at one point that Bryce was coming here, and then Tom Ricketts came out, I think yesterday? Was it yesterday where he said they have no money and they can't really spend anything on contracts because they have to pay XYZ, and yet the Cubs are making money hand over fist, just like the Yankees are, and yet the Yankees didn't even really sniff at either of these guys. It's fucking wild, man. Baseball is so weird right now. We're going to get a strike, and it's going to be ugly, and I'm really scared. And Passan also deferred to that, and I hate bringing him up so much, but I thought it was as informative of a baseball sort of listen as you'll get, especially if you are sort of, I would say a novice on how what's all happening in the behind the scenes. So, all right, well, take care. That does it for us. We'll be back tomorrow, like I said. And yeah, look forward to talking to you guys again tomorrow. And see you later. Have a good one. Stay safe in the snow, even though it's sunny outside right now. I don't want to tempt the snow gods, but it's sunny, so I don't know what's happening. All right, take care. Have a good one. Bye.